All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Oh, I preferred being hungover and happy versus hungover and pissed off. Let's get into it with The Lead. Oh, man, I needed that water. Welcome into Oilers Nation Every Day, live from the Sports Closet studio, where we're in search of my flag. My flag is gone. It has gone missing, just like the Oilers went missing in the first period last night. Hey-oh! That's a bad joke, and I apologize for it. We have in a different version of the show coming up today. Myself, BM, Liam, we are on our way to Los Angeles later on this afternoon, so it's going to be a shortened edition of the program here as we break down a disappointing night in oil country. All that optimism we had on the Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show, it is gone after the LA Kings tied up the series at one. It was an OT loss for the Oilers. You all know that. You all know everything that went down last night. And I'm here to tell you that it's going to be okay. I still actually think the Oilers are going to make this a relatively short series. And listen, Rick and I did one rollover parlay earlier this year, and it almost worked. It made it what, all the way to game four of its intended six game target, game five of its intended six game target, whatever that ended up being. Maybe it's time to do another one. I would not be, even with what we saw last night, and I'll explain my thinking for this as we go through the show, but even with what we saw last night, I have some faith the Oilers can rattle off three straight wins here in this series. I saw a game that featured a lot of things going the LA Kings way last night. They got a couple of really nice stops from their goalie and the Oilers didn't. And that's the way the cookie crumbled, if you want to put it that way. So we're going to be joined by Luke Gazdick in a little bit on the Star Mechanical guest line. He's going to help us break things down and give us a bit of a different perspective on things as well. But first, let's go through this game kind of step by step. It's the Service Credit Union scoring summary, and it's brought to you by Service in the Big Share Contest. Just a couple of days left in the Big Share Contest, so don't let the chance to win $1 million pass you by. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 save gets you five entries into the Service Big Share Contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for chances to win $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. We talked yesterday, whether it was on pre-gaming with Boardsy or whether it was yesterday on the show, on this show, ON Every Day. First goal was going to be massive. The LA Kings got the first goal, and I tweeted it. I said, hey, a good start to this game for the Oilers, it would have absolutely crippled the Los Angeles Kings. I think it would have killed any sort of hope that they had to start having the mindset of, here we go again. You know, if you were getting on Talbot early, if you got through that 1-3-1 and you know, one of the Oilers stars hammered home a puck early in that game, or even if they got a depth goal, I think the Kings would have been sitting there going, well, not our night. Instead, it was LA who got the first goal. And you could see, like, there was some relief on Adrian Kempe's face there as he did his little arm swing celebration. Like, the Kings needed that confidence builder right off the bat. And they got it. So, I mean, that was disappointing. It's a goal. And Aaron, can you maybe run it just one more time? Because I want to look at all these from a Stuart Skinner perspective as well. Like, Adrian Kempe averages 35 goals a year. Like, that's not a slouch putting the puck in the net. And the Oilers' sloppy play at the line there is probably what I blame more than goaltending. It's a good release. He put it in a good spot. It wasn't an F grade on the goal against from Stuart Skinner, but I'm not going to sit here and say he had no chance of stopping it either. This was a goal where I blame all six players on the ice. I think every guy on the ice in that picture in orange and blue could have done something better to prevent that goal. So there you go. That's how I feel about the first one. The second goal that Adrian Kempe scored, that's just remarkable hand-eye coordination. That's just, you know, again, an elite goal scorer doing his thing. And I'm not sure what Skinner could have done. I'm honestly not even sure what Bouchard could have done there, because you're not expecting the guy to just randomly whack the puck out of the air and put it into the back of the net. So first one, everyone on the ice is to blame. Skinner could have stopped him. The guys in front could have done something better. The second one, really nothing you can do. And one of, you know, my giant storyline on pre-gaming yesterday and my key to victory for sure at Power Sports and Marine yesterday was going to be how the Oilers handled adversity. Because I just had that feeling that adversity was coming at some point for this team. They got adversity nice and early on. They came out of the gates and got punched in the mouth. And what I saw from Edmonton after that was actually a pretty nice response. I feel like after that Kempe goal, they pushed things in the right direction, and it only took, what, 2.5 minutes for them to respond. And it was Brett Kulak who hammered home a puck. Playoff Brett Kulak. I love how whenever, and that was the joke I was trying to make yesterday on Twitter, I don't think anyone got it. I love how whenever anyone does anything in the playoffs, it's like, playoff this guy. But yeah, that's like a second career goal, but fucking right, it's still playoff Brett Kulak, baby. Stoney playing zone, fires at home. He's nice and fired up. I love the screenshots going around too of him just like looking pissed off. But that was a good response by the Oil. I thought they had a couple of nice shifts there. They hammer one home, but then the problem came. And again, the problem really wasn't with how they handled the adversity of going down 2-0. I liked that. The problem was they kicked their feet up. They went, all right, we're good. We responded. And they totally forgot to play hockey for the next minute and a half. And it allowed Drew Doughty to make the game 3-1. This one, you can't just not see that guy there the entire way. And, you know, the Oilers aren't on the power play. They're not shorthanded. There are two defensemen on the ice as this situation breaks down. How Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is basically the only guy in frame or within range of Drew Doughty is absolutely beyond me. I think that was Desharnais who makes the initial jump across the boards to take the guy. There was no reason to be that aggressive if you're Vinny. Like, your guy pinches. I right here, you need to recognize that, hey, you kind of have him cornered off and this guy's not going to beat you. You need to recognize you have absolutely no support and you need to peel back here. I thought that was just a very, very poor read by the Oilers blue line. I didn't like the over-aggressiveness at the other blue line as well. You just made the game 2-1. Late in the first period, cut your losses and get out of there. And I didn't like this play at all. As for Stuart Skinner, again, this is probably, I think, first goal, equal blame. Second goal, no blame anywhere, just a goal you're going to give up. This one, I put more of the blame on the guys in front than Stuart Skinner. I think he played it pretty well. It's just generally an unlucky bounce that Nugent Hopkins' stick lift comes just as Doughty's pulling into his back end. Like, Skinner actually read it pretty well. So no problems with Skinner on that one there. The Oilers are down 2-1 after the first period. not ideal. They outshot them 10-7. You know, they had a nice pushback, like I said, but out of the gates, they were sloppy. And it was kind of the same old story we saw with this Oilers team a lot last year in the playoffs. So, yeah, I didn't like that opening frame. Like the pushback. I thought the best part of that game, though, was the second period. The Oilers took it to them. They outshot them. What was it? 16-10 in that middle frame. I thought Stuart Skinner made a couple of really nice saves when he needed to be big. And the Oilers got some depth scoring. Dylan Holloway. Hello. Hello. I don't get a lot of stuff right, so allow me to take a moment because I did get something right. This is why you keep Dylan Holloway in the lineup. He scores. He's a first round pick. He has natural offensive abilities that unfortunately Derek Ryan and to an extent Connor Brown, although he got better towards the end of the year. And this is why if you want to make a change going into game three, it's Janmark coming out, or it might be Sam Carrick coming out. I really didn't like the game we got from Sam Carrick yesterday. And maybe it involves playing a Janmark or a Holloway at center and you just hope that they can deal with that. But this shot from Holloway, not even a great shot, but it's the offensive instincts. Again, he recognizes there's a lane there. He gets the puck in, a nice little feed, and just shoot it, man. And it's a good shot. Talbot wants it back. There's no doubt. But again, Connor Brown's not scoring that goal. Matthias Janmark's not scoring that goal. Derek Ryan's not scoring that goal. You put guys like this in your bottom six, even though he can't help you on the PK. And I know there are people who are like, well, if he's only getting 8 minutes, how effective can he be? Most of the time, he's not having two goal nights playing 9 minutes a night. But when you have a guy with that kind of ceiling, you can get performances like this. And the game doesn't go to overtime if Dylan Holloway's not in the lineup last night. So big shout out to Holloway on his first of the night. And then the Oilers would tie it up before the end of the period when their power play struck. It was Zach Hyman. And as I tweeted out and we joked with DJ Bean yesterday, this was on the bingo card. Zach Hyman for three. Anytime he scores from outside of the blue paint, it's a three-pointer, and he was looking like prime Alexander Ovechkin there. A great feed by Draisaitl, great puck movement by the Oilers. Their power play finishes 1-for-3. Their power play 100% deserved more than three opportunities in that game. I'll talk about that with Luke Gazdick a little bit, but their puck movement was great. McDavid joked yesterday, and Aaron brought up the quote on pre-gaming that, you know, they still had some tricks up their sleeve. Putting Zach Hyman in a one-timer spot is a trick we have not seen them pull yet this season. So I thought that goal, full marks for their power play last night. Even on the attempts where they didn't score, they were snapping it around really nicely. Hyman gets a power play goal, tied up at three. You're going into the third period. You are absolutely feeling great about the spot they're in. I was sweat-free for that whole second intermission. Third period comes down, and a minute 46 in, boom, punched in the mouth again. And this is one that, there's traffic. Yes. It's a good goal scorer. Yes. Stuart Skinner's got to stop this one. This was the bad one. And I think, again, the first goal, I didn't love. The second goal is whatever. The third goal was unlucky. But at some point, you needed a save last night from Stuart Skinner. And his numbers look bad now in the playoffs, just like they did a year ago. I think bad luck in game one is a big part of the reason why his numbers now 860, whatever. Like game one, he was good. I thought he was really good in game one. He made some big saves for them in big moments. Last night, he didn't make a save in a big moment. And this is one that just can't go in. You need to be a little bit more aware. And there's traffic, sure, but getting beat on the ice from the boards near the top of the zone is just, it's flat out unacceptable. And I would call out an unacceptable play if Darnell Nurse or Evan Bouchard threw a pizza up the middle and it resulted in a goal. I would call out unacceptable play if one of the forwards blew their coverage here. So you can call out unacceptable when the goalie gives up one that he absolutely shouldn't in the third period of a playoff game. So I still have faith in Stuart Skinner. I still believe he's going to be better this year than he was last year. And I believe he's not going to have two nights in a row like he had last night. Doesn't change the fact that puck can't go in. Oilers respond. Again, responding to adversity, they did it really well last night. They created a bunch of that adversity all on their own, but they still handled it well. And it's Dylan Holloway, second of the game, first career multi-goal game in either the regular season or the playoffs. Yes, he did have a preseason hat trick. But this is, again, like you put him in the lineup because he recognizes there's a lane there. He recognizes there's an offensive opportunity and he rips it. And I'll say the line again. Connor Brown doesn't score that goal. Matthias Janmark doesn't score that goal. Sam Carrick doesn't score that goal. That's the kind of goal that only a guy with good offensive instincts and good offensive touch can score. Did he get a lucky break because it went off the defenseman's stick and over top of Talbot? Sure. But still, you create your own luck in some situations. And by ripping that puck and having a good release, he gave himself a chance to get a lucky bounce. You can say I'm being a homer. You can say I'm president of the Dylan Holloway fan club. Fucking rights I am. But that's why you keep him in the lineup, man. And their penalty kill was fine with him in the lineup. Everyone's like, oh, you don't want to take a penalty killer out of the lineup. Like, their penalty kill went 3-for-3. Is actually, again, if you want to rank reasons that game went to overtime, Dylan Holloway, penalty kill, and I guess power play. I guess the power play was fine. But anyway, you know what? Cam Talbot, because that save he made on Leon Draisaitl in the third period or in the second period when McDavid like snapped it down low, he robbed us of like an all-time McDavid power play moment. When that like little no look, whatever it was, contorting his body to Draisaitl and Talbot making the save, that was unbelievable. But anyways, you know, it's 4-4, end of the third period. Oilers had some looks late in that period. You know, the Kings had some looks too. It gets to overtime, and that's the danger of letting a team bring you to overtime, letting the lower seed bring you to overtime, is you're one bounce away at any point, and the bounce goes the direction of the Los Angeles Kings. Mikey Anderson fires one at the chest of Quinton Byfield. He knocks it down, or it hits his stick, whatever way you want to say it, and it goes right to Anze Kopitar, who breezes in to the zone. He's in all alone. He picks a corner on Stuart Skinner. Again, would you have loved a big save here? Yes. Are you going to criticize a goalie for not stopping Anze Kopitar on a breakaway when he picks the corner? Probably can't be that hard on Stuart Skinner. I think there are other things that maybe broke down in that play that I didn't love, but the Oilers lose 5-4 in overtime. The series is tied up 1-1. The good news is momentum doesn't carry over from game to game in the playoffs, and we probably should have been a little bit more cognizant of that coming out of game one. And we lined up, we talked about it a bit, right? The Oilers have had plenty of examples over the last number of playoff runs of big win, loss, big win, loss. Losing to Calgary game one, 4 straight victories, because momentum, it stops when the clock stops, if you want to put it that way. Anyways, there's your scoring summary for our friends at Service Credit Union. A few other things we are going to rip through later on in the show, but let's get out to the Star Mechanical Guest Line, brought to you by Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more about them by visiting them online at starmechanical.ca. You can trust your local Star residential, commercial, 24/7 emergency services. Joining us for his weekly appearance is the Sportsnet analyst, former Oiler, and host of the Myth Off podcast, Luke Gazdick. Gaz, a bit of a tough one last night, obviously, dropping it in OT. Let's start with the OT goal and maybe like work our way backwards in that one. It's a weird bounce off the stick of Byfield. I didn't love how Darnell Nurse played it. Felt like he just got beat a little bit too clean. What did you see on the OT goal?
I saw exactly what you saw. Honestly, I don't think Nurse expected that one to get to where it was. I still truly don't know what happened there with the bounce with Byfield, whether that was intentional or not, but they don't exactly like play, you know, even a man-on-man that high up in the zone. But I think Nurse has to at least be within a stick length. Even if he is, I don't know if that he stops that. It's just a quick play that happens off a crappy bounce. That's playoff hockey though, man. You sag for 2-3 seconds and it's in the back of your net, especially against a team like LA, who's not known to be this offensive juggernaut. But man, all night they were looking to go north. As soon as there was a turnover there, especially even in their defensive zone, as soon as their D got, you know, rebound, whatever it was, they were sending their wingers and they're like turning that thing right around. So yeah, I think Darnell probably could have been within a stick. Maybe ask for a save there. I know you just said that's Kopi on a breakaway, but man, you just at big moments like that, you would love a save, right? And I think there was a couple of them that game, and you can't fault him. You can't fault the outcome of the game on him, but man, big goaltenders make, you know, big saves in big moments. And I think you would have liked one there.
Game probably doesn't go to overtime too. Like that, the worst goal Stu gave up was the one in the third on Fiala. And I know there's traffic and I know it's a shot you're not expecting from a maybe weird angle at the top of the zone off the boards, but like you're basically letting in a puck on the ice from the top of the blue line or close to it. This is the one I had the biggest problem with. And you know, the problem with Stuart Skinner, to steal a line from my friend Low Tide, who does radio in the city, the problem is you develop a past. And if Stuart Skinner would have been lights out all of last year in the playoffs, we're probably sitting here going, one bad game, who cares? But now we're sitting here through two games and we're going, okay, save percentage back down in the 800s. You can point to a couple of goals and go, I would have liked him to have that one back. And then you couple that with a poor playoffs last year. And it's like, oh God, the conversation starts already. And it's, do the Oilers have a Stuart Skinner problem? I think he's going to bounce back. I hold the faith, but it's getting to a point where the results speak.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
For themselves a little bit, you know?
Yeah, history is obviously not on his side in terms of playoff-wise. I'm not concerned in the least yet. He's got to go on the road and get it. You know, a split, try to pick up one, hopefully two, obviously. But if this continues on the road in LA, then I think it's when you a guy like me, you know, starts to get concerned. But right now, yeah. There's not too much there. You're right on the Fiala one. I just thought the Kings came to play in the third period. I thought they were pushing the pace from the get-go. And I think the Oilers were almost playing catch-up. They matched it, but I think the Kings were setting that pace and that physicality. That was a glorious chance right before by CC, and I actually didn't even know how close that was. I saw an angle of it this morning. Open cage. you're begging for that one to go in there. And then, of course, the way hockey works, it comes back down and, you know, it's in your net. They didn't look set for that. Like, Connor was a couple steps behind, flexing out to Fiala. Skins didn't look set as he pushed over to that post. But that was kind of, you know, a microcosm of a bigger thing that I thought the Kings came out to play and really pushed the pace early in the period.
When you look at the game as a whole, obviously the start was great for the LA Kings, and you know, they got some bounces throughout the game, but they definitely brought a much better effort and they were a lot more complete, I guess. Like, they weren't making the same sort of little mistakes. They controlled the pace early. Was there anything the Kings did that kind of has you going, that's a cause for concern, whether it's the way they attacked Connor McDavid, the way they set up their 1-3-1 system? Or was it just, hey, they played a good game and it's nothing more than that? Or was there something tactfully that you looked at and were like, ooh, they really did that differently, and if they can keep it up, this is a different series?
I think you nailed it with the coverage on Connor. And it was a bit of an adjustment on their 1-3-1 where I would say that as soon as they start to flex over and they start to steer, especially in the neutral zone as you're approaching the blue line, it used to just kind of be a man in coverage, but you saw, like, they had multiple replays too. Every time Connor got the puck, especially in the neutral zone, kind of cruising over the blue line, it wasn't just two, it was three guys sometimes. So it's clear they've made adjustments and they've decided the way that they want to play against Connor. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's other options they have open. I think Connor just has to adjust now. They've made some great changes on their side. I thought their power play made some great adjustments in The Kings trying to take away Drysdale backdoor, but I would give the Kings a lot of credit in the way they defended last night, especially against 97. I thought that was the biggest thing that, maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest things that contributed to their win last night was being able to kind of hold them at bay.
I hate being the guy who after one loss goes, the refs. But last night there was the miss too many men call. I think that one was glaring. I don't really have a problem with any of the ones called on the Oilers, but I think it's more of the, they got away with a bit more clutching and grabbing on Connor last night. And there's no denying that's going to be a factor. If the refs are going to call every infraction on 97 and 29, then the Oilers are going to get 4 to 6 power plays a game and they're going to score on 2 to 3 of them. And it's going to be a big game changer. If it's called more like it was last night, where they let a lot go, then the Oilers are going to get 3 power plays and it's going to hurt their ability to produce offense. My point is the refs are going to play a role. And if they call it tight on Connor, that's going to force the Kings to adjust when they're back on home ice. If they're letting everything go and they're allowed to, you know, grab hold of him in the neutral zone, it changes the series.
It really does. And I saw some reffing and some controversy firsthand here in Toronto last night. They had some crazy ones, one on Matthews, one on Bertuzzi with Marchand, but it's just tough to tell the standard from game to game. And I didn't love, like you said, that's too many men. If you go back and look at it, the 2 by Perry, the net front one, I don't like that on Perry's end. You know, they're looking for you right away, but the neutral zone one on PLD, listen, that is him selling it, but I just don't even think you can put yourself in that position in the first place, getting your stick up in the midsection. And then same thing, the other one in the offensive zone, like gets right up in his hip. You just, at this time of the year, you got to err on the side of caution. And no, I didn't like the reffing. I thought a couple of those calls definitely could have gone the other way, but man, they're just going to have to be careful. And it's tough to get a sense and a standard of what's happening game to game, looking across the league. It's just, I don't know. I find myself shaking my head a lot. And I did during that game last night, but be interesting to see when we go down to LA, what's going to happen. Cause I think you're exactly right. The standard starts and ends with the way they call 97. And then I think it kind of filters down from there. So I think this is a game to game thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And I mean, I know the officiating crews kind of change from game to game, but there's communication and they obviously go back, the refs go back and review the games and what they did. I think in both game 1 and game 2, and this dates back to last year's series, the Kings are a team that will sell their calls. And Dubois did it on the one. You're right, Perry can't put his stick there. But I remember last year there was the moment where Nurse kneed Arvidsson. He went down like he got shot, went all the way down the tunnel. He was out there for the back half of the power play. And I think it was, so that would have been game 3 or 4 in LA, and game 5 in Edmonton, they nabbed him on an embellishment penalty. They called Arvidsson on it. So I do think that as the series goes on, maybe that's something that creeps into the refs' minds a little bit, like, okay, these guys have a history of doing that, but that's probably enough on the refs. Let's talk about one of the other great stories from last night, and that's Dylan Holloway. I did a rant about it off the top of the show, but that's why you play a guy like that in your bottom six, because he has a chance to score goals for you.
Yeah, he was outstanding. And it's funny, man, like doing hits with you guys and kind of listening to the Edmonton, you know, media discourse side of it towards the end of the year with the battles going on for the bottom six and who was going to end up starting, you know, in that bottom six role. I think from my end, I almost looked at it as it was Janmark versus Holloway to get the last spot. And they've both looked really good in there together. Dylan's bring a lot of energy, man. Can he skate? He's got an unreal kind of catch and release, Joe Sakic-esque wrist shot, but he's put in his dues. And, you know, I was kind of split on the fence with this because I've been in the position where, you know, you have guys that were there for, call it, all 82 games, you know, given everything they have to the team. And then a young guy comes up at the end of the year and is playing well at the right time. And they decide to go with the hot hand and it's working out for them. And I'll tell you, there was a moment at the end of the second period, about 3 minutes left after Perry's penalty expired, where it was like a split change and Holloway ended up on the ice with McDavid and Hyman. And that looked good. That looked real good. I've liked Adam Henrique there a lot. I don't know if I would be looking to make that change, but just for a split second, watching 55 and 97 rip around together looked like a nice match. But I actually like him down on the fourth line. I think it gives them a different dimension, a different look, and can definitely get you some scoring from the bottom end of the lineup. But he's been a joy to watch, man. He's coming in with a lot, a lot of moxie and a big smile on his face. So it's great to see. And anytime you can get scoring from your fourth line, it's huge. So he has earned his roster spot and looks like he's trying to earn his way up through the lineup as well.
Yeah, he got one shift. I'm just looking at the game chart here. He got one shift with McDavid. They got one shot attempt. And then he actually played 237 in the game with Leon Draisaitl. So two or three shifts and outshot the Kings 2-1. And then they were on the ice for that goal, obviously, in the third period together. But I like that as well. Like, it does give you the chance to throw him out there after a penalty kill with a Draisaitl or a McDavid and try to get some offense going. If you were Chris Knobloch, would you make any lineup changes ahead of game three? Like, I can't take out Dylan Holloway after he scored twice. I have liked Janmark's game. I agree with you on that. So then the only other option is Carrick. And, you know, I didn't think he had the best game in game two, but I don't think I want to lose the right shot center side of things either. So I think they're maybe locked in here, even though there's a part of me that goes, make a change after you lose a game.
Yeah, the only change I would see is Sam out for Derek Ryan. I did notice that about eight left in the third, he had Leon playing in Sammy's spot at fourth line center, and that's usually a sign that he doesn't like the way you're going or doesn't trust you in that moment. I think Sam is better for the physicality of this series, but in terms of the pace in the third period and the north-south and the transition game, you might want some more speed in there. But does DR give you that much more than Sammy? If it's leaning on more of a physical tilt like it was with all the hits last night, I'm probably keeping it the way it is. Yeah, I'm probably staying the same. I wouldn't want to tweak too much at this instance. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see going forward what Chris's mindset is, because he hasn't, he's shown that he doesn't mind mixing things up. But if it's me, I'm not touching too much here.
Yeah, I don't think I am either. I know, like, there's a part that goes, Holloway played center down in Baco for basically the last 25 games he was down there. But on the road, the nightmare I keep going to is like, man, you throw him out there for a faceoff and they go Kopitar against him and he just gets worked for like a solid 55 seconds. So I think you're right. I wouldn't touch too much. Before I let you go, outside of Edmonton, you mentioned the Leafs and Bruins series a little bit there. Man, Brad Marchand, that was peak Brad Marchand last night. And when I listen to Sheldon Keefe after the game kind of bitch about it a little bit, I'm like, I feel like that's the last thing you want to do is have that quote get back to Marchand. And now he knows, oh yeah, I'm right in these guys' head. What did you make of Marchand's antics and how the Leafs handled them?
Yeah, and I love Sheldon too, but man, at the podium, he always has some interesting quotes. Listen, that was vintage Brad. I was already on Toronto radio this morning. They were asking me all about it, about him getting calls and all this, and that's him. Like, this is the same situation or similar, like I talked about with Harry, is like, you got to be aware. You can't even put yourself in that position in the first place. And him and Bert kind of getting tangled up. They're both trying to sell a call. It's usually going to go against you. Marchie just has this unique ability. I watched it firsthand when we played against him. He tended to leave me alone, which was always nice, but it just has that way about him. And you saw it firsthand last night. And not only can he sell those calls, but then he can come back and absolutely pick a corner short side with one of the sickest shots I've seen in a while. Like, he does it on the scoreboard too. And he can be such a distraction for your entire team. And that started from game one. Domi took a penalty on him slashing in game one. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, kind of, I would be in the mindset of letting him, I don't want to say letting him sleep, but just you have to be smarter and lay on the side of caution, especially with 63, because he's just so good at what he does. And yeah, he gets calls. He probably gets more calls than a lot of other players in the league in that position, but those guys know that, right? They know that going in. So it's almost frustrating to see them playing right into his hand and right into their cards, just because you know what he's trying to do.
Yeah. Last one I got for you. Tampa down 2-0 to Florida. Dallas down 2-0 to Vegas. I think the difference here, obviously, Dallas now has to go out on the road. Tampa gets to come back at home. But is there one of those two teams you like more to erase their 2-0 deficit and get back into their series?
Probably Dallas. But I mean, you got to get at least a split at home for Dallas. And not saying, I think Tampa's going to make a series of this. Florida's just looked really good. And I think we knew that going in, but this is a really good Panthers hockey team. I think losing Bennett for a bit will hurt them. But if Bob's going to play like that and they're going to be physical and score goals like they are, they're going to be a tough out in the East. Dallas for me is the team that they have just played so well at home. And oh boy, now they have their backs against the wall. But if there's any team that can, you know, find some offense and get back into a series that way, it's the Stars. So they need Ottinger to find his game a little bit, stop some pucks, but I would give it to the Stars.
Beauty, man. Appreciate your time today. Enjoy the two games out in LA and we'll chat again next week.
For sure. Hey, by the way, did they actually start Addison Barger at left field?
Yeah.
With him making a start before in his professional career. He said not even in Little League he's ever played left field.
Never.
And of course the ball gets hit to him like, and it's just, oh my gosh, this Jays team just a nightmare. I had to get some Jays rants in here before I got you off.
Dude, that's just, I really hate like the constant bitching about like the manager and stuff, but that's one of those ones where when that ball, and I know he made a great play later in the game, but it's like that ball goes over his head. It's like, why? You could have thrown Kevin Biggio out there and played Barger in the infield. And it's like not even a conversation. You just can't get out of their own way. Good Jays talk, Gas. We'll chat next week.
All right, buddy. Go Oil.
There you go. Luke Gazzig on the Star Mechanical guest line. Couple more things to quickly rip through before the end of the show. Our playoff coverage is presented by our friends at Boston Pizza. Team up for the win and end Canada's 30-year drought. Big TVs, cold beer. They got it all at Boston Pizza. All right, here's what's going on this weekend. I'll give you a full rundown of all the content we got cooking here at Oilers Nation. We should be doing an on-the-road edition of Real Life or Better Late Than Never at some point today, so you can look for that wherever you get your podcast from. And then tomorrow, Oilers Nation every day, hour and a half, same time as always, live from Los Angeles. It's a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the program. And then we're going to be heading out to a bar right by LA Live in Los Angeles, right by the arena. So if you're in LA, reach out. We'll be sharing the spot on our socials as well. And 1 or 2 hours before puck drop, we'll be going live again. It's going to be one big, long 2-hour pregame show. You got myself, Jay, BM, Liam, on location in Los Angeles for Game 3. And then we're going to kick it up north to our party central at Greta, where Boardsy's going to be live with pre-gaming for Boardsy. So a full 2-hour pregame show for Game 3 of this series. And then Saturday, new episode of Oilers Nation Radio, going to recap everything that went down in Game 3. Of course, we'll still be doing After Dark on Friday night live from Greta as well. And then Sunday, it's the same thing as Friday. We got Oilers Nation every day, a noon edition of the show, going to go live for an hour, get set for the game. And then once again, 2 hours before puck drop, double pregame show live from Los Angeles. So that is all the content we got coming up for you this weekend. And it's all powered by our friends at Boston Pizza. Also needed to give some love to our friends at Douglas Mattress. I didn't get a chance to give you an official moment of the game, but I think you already know. My moment of the game was Dylan Holloway scoring 2 goals for the Edmonton Oilers in a playoff game, a massive game from Holloway. I'm sure he's sleeping good tonight, just like you'll be sleeping good if you head to douglas.ca/OilersNation and get yourself a beautiful handcrafted in Canada mattress. And right now, every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. You get 2 memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, 1 luxurious cotton sheet set, and 1 mattress protector free with any order. Shout out to our friends at Douglas. Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company by ordering today at douglas.ca/DFO. A quick around the NHL tonight in the league, or last night, I guess I should say, Boston obviously jumped up 2-1. We talked about that a little bit with our boy Luke Gazdick. And then you also had the Dallas Stars going down 2-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, man, that is absolutely stunning. That's why you didn't want to play Vegas. Not that Edmonton's in all that great of a spot right now either. 1-1, losing home ice advantage, but that Vegas team is looking like they're healthy and they're a wagon once again. Tonight, just two games in the NHL, actually, on a Thursday evening. Panthers Bolts out in Tampa Bay, and then the Canes looking to take a 3-0 stranglehold as their series with the Islanders shifts out to Long Island. That is going to be a wrap. Again, like I said, a super short edition of the show today, but we had Gazdik on, wanted to give you a full breakdown before I take off to Los Angeles for games 3 and 4. That'll do it for today's edition of Oilers Nation Every Day, brought to you by Sherwood Ford, the Giant, and their fantastic service department. Big shout out to everyone over in the YouTube chat as well. We're going to be giving you a bonus episode of the show on Sunday. And of course, tomorrow, game day, Sherwood Power Sports and Marine Keys to Victory. All that good stuff with myself, Jay, and Liam, and our boy Aaron behind the scenes. We'll chat with you tomorrow, noon Mountain Time. Enjoy your Thursday.
Thank you for watching Oilers Nation Every Day. Hit the subscribe button to never miss a show. And for more, visit OilersNation.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.